Our message is coming from the book of Galatians, chapter 2 is going to be our main theme for the message. And if we notice there in chapter 2, we see a wonderful truth. And it was a truth. You know, some truths change your life. Some verses, you read them and you just turn your life around because they have such an impact in your heart. And this is such a verse for me, and I think it's such a verse for anyone. It's a jewel in the crown, this verse here. And we're going to look at that, and we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful, wonderful salvation in which we stand, not through any work of our own, but purely through your grace and faith in the shed blood and the work of our Saviour that was finished, Lord, that nothing can be added to or taken away from. But Lord, we rest in the hope that, Lord, all that he has done has saved us. Lord, we pray that be our heart's cry. And as we come before your word this morning, that we fail not, Lord, to ask to be filled with your Spirit today, that you and you alone would be seen and glorified and honored for the great work that you have done and for the great and almighty God that you are. And these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Galatians 2:20, this Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And we wonder where he got that. Where did he think of that? What caused him to call that out? Well, if you go to John 14:19, we read there, the Lord himself is talking to us, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Because I live, ye shall live also. Do you know the last time this wicked world saw the sinless Son of God was hanging on a cross for our sins, for the sins of this world? You see, he died for the sins of man. Now the world will see Jesus when he comes in his glory. In Revelation 1:7, they will see him and they will wail because of him. But the world will not see him when he comes for his church, his bride. 1 Corinthians 15, we know he's going to come as a thief in the night. The only reason we believers, Christians, have eternal life is because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 3:3 informs us that our lives are hid with Christ in God. And in verse 19 there, where Jesus says, I live, it means the living one. It means more than the Lord's resurrection from the dead, because as the living one, he is the source of life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, John 1:4. Jesus is the life, and apart from him, there is no life at all. And Paul, back in Galatians 2:20, realized the importance of salvation and the blessing of it. And he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If I just wondering if we could go back to Paul, where Paul was walking the streets, or if he was here today walking our streets, would we be able to tell by his life that the cross was the centerpiece, that it meant all to him, that without it he knew he was nothing? Yes, we would. And that should be the same for all believers. See, Paul is making it clear to us that the result of the cross was me living by the presence of the living Christ in me. Crucified with Christ meant being controlled by Christ, meant having Christ's power rule and work in my life, and the living Christ now in me. That's what Paul's trying to get across to us. We need to understand, we don't just serve a Savior in written words in a book. He lives within the believer. See, crucified by Christ means being controlled by Him. Living in His power, a Christ that has risen from the dead. And Paul was not going to settle for anything else, and neither should we. You see, Paul died when Jesus died on that cross. Now, as the passers-by walked past Jesus there, hanging on that cross, they saw only one man, but not God. God saw not just a physical body of one man, He saw the spiritual body of Christ, the church of the living God. And it's a very sad, sad thing that the average believer seems to be oblivious to this truth. They still live, for many, under Old Testament truths. Now it is still blessedly true. We get great joy and strength from the precious promises in the Old Testament. But what makes the Christian life is Christ Himself in the believer, incorporated into the way we live our lives. The Psalms tell us, Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Psalm 23:4, we all know that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff comfort me. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Psalm 40:17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer, make no tarrying, O my God. And Psalm 119, 173 says, let Thy hand help me, for I have chosen Thy precepts. You know, this is typical of the Old Testament saints and their confidence in the Lord. See, they have their confidence in Him as their helper, but where is He? He's outside. You see, He's watching, He's guarding, He's upholding. And that's the confidence that they had. And that's true for us also too. But the New Testament life brings to us a life that is now centered and abiding with the presence of Christ. Romans 6:4 tells us we also should walk in newness of life. Why? He's not on the outside. Where is He? On the inside. 2 Corinthians 6:16, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Corinthians 13:5, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? And John 15:4, we all know, abide in me and I in you. See, this is true Christian living. This is knowing Christ liveth in me. To put that aside, listen carefully, to put that aside and reduce the Christian life only to behavior is one of the greatest tricks the devil has brought upon the New Testament church. It is a Satan-engineered plan that leads to disaster. Any believer, any preacher, any teacher fall for that is a master stroke of the devil. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, that's the principle of identification. You see, by nature, we are identified with Adam. Now, when we're identified with Adam, we're in the grip of death. We're in the hands and the hold of death. God's plan in the gospel, God's provision, is the power to place us completely in him. Not outside. Not hoping he will do something, but knowing he is in us and wants to do something through us. He desires to live his life of power and strength and hope within and through the believer. You know, verse 21 of Galatians 20 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. See, this is the living presence of the living Christ. And Paul refused to overlook and ignore all that God had done for him in the cross. He didn't want to live by his own strength. He didn't want to live the self life. He didn't want his Christian life to consist of just a life of behavior. He didn't want a legalistic righteousness, so to speak. And if you and I do not want the cross to be emptied of its meaning, empty of its power in our lives, then we need to let God accomplish what he did in us in the cross in our life. Don't try and live apart from a full dependence on Christ himself. Don't try and live in our own works and our own strength. We have the living Christ within us. We have the power of a resurrected Savior within ourselves. We are new creatures because of a living presence of Christ. And it stays new when we live by the cross. Not only does he cleanse, not only does he guard, not only does he give us victory over sin, but he also fills us with life. Listen, don't let anybody ever tell you that living a life under the command of Christ, in obedience to him, a life of holiness, is boring, that it's drab, that it's lifeless. How can it be? He is the Son of God. And the only reason life becomes like that is because people put Christ out of their life. They can't get rid of him out of their heart, but they put him on the side for one reason only. They want to live life to please themselves. And it never works. How can it? Living a life to the glory of Christ is a life of overflowing of God. It's full of joy. It's full of promise. We have victory and hope. And if we follow the way of the cross, we're going to hear and see things that we've never heard or saw before. The Word of God will become alive. The Holy Spirit will be like a fire instead of some pilot light. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Paul says to us, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." What a statement. God forbid. That's emphatic. He's praying that God would surround him in such a way that nothing will live or interfere with him living his commitment to the cross and what it meant for him. All credit for his life was given to the cross. And as you read that verse there, the wording suggests that there are many things other than the cross of Christ in which men commonly glory in. They glory in their own works. They glory in their own intellect. They glory in their own provision. Which, from all human standpoint, Paul himself might have been expected to glory in, but no. And may we all learn to glory not in the toys and the things and our ways of this earth, but we glory in nothing other than the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not what we do for him, but we glory in what he has done for us. Should we not all bow before God? Should we not all prayerfully ask, do I glory in the cross? Or am I going to glory in pleasing myself? See, we do not glory in the cross for which we are not willing to suffer for. Nor can we suffer for the cross in which we do not glory. Amen. First Corinthians chapter 2:1-2, we read, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." You see, Paul knew there was only one hope for the world, and that was that. There is no other hope outside of Christ. If you're trusting in your bank account, forget about it. If you're trusting in your walk in the flesh, forget about it. It is only Christ and Christ crucified that has any hope at all. That's what Paul preached. And we remember how intelligent a man this man was. We remember how strong his disciplines were. How upholding his morals were. When he came to Corinth, oh, the immorality that was there. He couldn't believe it. But notice, it wasn't his morals he preached. It wasn't the brilliance of his mind that he preached or proclaimed. He proclaimed nothing other than the power of the cross. He preached Christ crucified. Back a chapter, in chapter 1:17, he said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel," notice, "not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." You see, he could see the power that others were failing to see. Verse 18, he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." That's all he wanted to know, was Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, that's what God wants to see in us. We need to be studying these verses. We need to be prayerfully on our knees before God, asking him to show us the power of the crucified Christ, the life that is within us. We live in the power of the cross, of his resurrection. God has filled us with the power of his Spirit. How dare we just want to live for ourselves? If you want God to touch your heart for the rest of your life, get a hold of what Christ crucified means. But we must ask ourselves, is our life centered on the cross? Or is it centered only on theology? Do I experience the life of the living Lord? Or does the world have priority in how I spend my time, my energy, my thoughts, and all I have? Is it quenching Christ in me that I become blinded to the truth of God's word? Second Corinthians 5:15, we read, "And that he died, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." You see, Christ came into the world to save man by his own sufferings, and he died for all. It's a whosoever will gospel. Not certain people, not a select little group or cultural nation. He died for all. All of sinful humanity. And you know what? Sinful humanity could not bear the reproach of the presence of perfect virtue in this world. And the forces of evil wrestled against him, the one who came to deal them a death blow and cast them out. And the cost was for our Lord to die a shameful death. And this changed Paul so much, he could no longer live for himself, to please himself, to provide for himself, to look after himself. That so changed him, he looked to Christ to fulfill it all. You may be here today with big decisions to make. Are they going to please Christ or yourself? Have you looked at the commands of Christ to see how we should live our lives? To honour and glorify him, to live in the strength and power of his presence within us. It's a good study to do so. Some 50 or more commands of Christ in the New Testament, and we need to honour them. To know and to be filled so that we are joyful, so that we are satisfied wherever God has placed us and what he's doing with us in this life. You see, the world has many standards in which it judges. It judges a people by their birth, by their wealth, by their occupation, by their looks. But to a man or woman filled with the love for Christ, those things mean nothing at all. Verse 16 there says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Paul no longer sees men after the flesh. He doesn't see them as rich or poor. As slaves or as rich, as masters, he now sees all men in the light of the cross. He doesn't see the physical state, he sees the spiritual state. This sort of life, first of all, will test our own faith. What do we really believe about the risen Christ? What do we believe about the cross? Was it real? Did this really happen? If it did, what's our excuse not to live in it? Trust it. It should guide us, secondly, in our witness in this world. We need to be witnesses, first of all, to our families. We need to stand sure on the commandments of our Lord. We need to witness to those around us in our church, as they see faithful men and women not wanting to please themselves but please the Lord. Thirdly, this should be the principle on which we base our friendships in this world. We're not to be unequally yoked. We're to be separate. Fourthly, it should rule and regulate our social conduct. The places we go, the places we seek for enjoyment. Back in Galatians 2:20, Paul, we see, failed to ignore all that God had done for him in the cross. Firstly, we see that God identified himself with us in flesh and blood. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, he identified with us in flesh and blood. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from what? This present evil world, which was what? Being identified with Adam. That's what he delivered us from being identified with Adam according to the will of God and our Father. He identified with us in flesh and blood. Secondly, we become identified with him in death and resurrection. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Present tense. We're not waiting for it to happen. We already have it. And shall not come into condemnation. That's enough to make me want to live for the Lord. But it's passed from death unto life. 2 Corinthians 5:14 tells us, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then all were dead. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Listen, that's not physical healing, brothers and sisters, regardless of what the charismatics and the Pentecostals want to teach. That is spiritual healing. That is our salvation and deliverance from the penalty of death. Thirdly, he now identifies with us in a living presence. 2 Corinthians 6:16, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. What a position we are in if Christ is in us. What a difference it should be to the way we live life. We should be living it in His strength and His power and His wisdom and His discernment that only comes as we surrender and see what happened at the cross. Now, there's three things I'll finish off with. First, you have died, and you need to know this. Colossians 2:20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, you are subject to ordinances? We are dead. Second, we need to know that Christ lives in you. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. John 1:12. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thirdly, and it's the most important one, get out of the way. Just get out of the way and let Him live His life through you. I live, in our text, Galatians 2:20, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, we need to let Christ live His life in us. The question is, are you and I prepared to make this a practical reality? Surrender it all. Put our hands up and say, Christ, here I am. Do whatever you will with me. We have Christ in us and we need to do all to realize His presence, His attributes, and allow Him His way in our lives. And the church isn't taught these things anymore. They want a teaching where this is no longer the truth. We'll just change this to fit our lifestyles now. We'll rearrange this through perverted things like the message and so forth, those sort of so-called words of God, which are nothing than the words of men. And if you read one and read this, they're the total opposite to one another. Families don't want to stand on the principles of the truth anymore. Marriages don't want to stand on the principles of truth anymore. Families don't want to stand on the principles of truth anymore because the God of this world, the devil, is blinding their minds with a self-sufficient gospel that you can help yourself to whatever you like. You see, any failure in our Christian life is simply put down to not allowing Him to live His life and His faithfulness in and through us. Are we prepared, like Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:31, to say, I die daily? Are we prepared to get out of the way and give Christ His way? Forget about the possessions, the things of this world. We should claim our possession in Christ. Ephesians 3:20 tells us who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Is that what we believe? Is that the life we're ready to live? Well, we think we're just going to run off and try and make our own way in this world without any direction from Christ at all. I was reading of a girl who had a really busted up nose, and she wouldn't go out. She didn't want to do anything. So she begged her parents to get some plastic surgery done on that nose. And I understand a disfigurement being fixed. And when the surgery was finished, and the next day the doctor took the bandages off, and all she saw was his big red swollen nose with all stitches and cuts all over it. And she said, "I can't see any difference. I don't like it. What a waste of time." And it was nearly a year before she admitted that it had changed. I want to ask you today, has the Holy Spirit spoken to you this morning? Has Christ in you, the hope of glory, touched your heart today with the truth of God's word? Are you willing to accept the change? Or are you just going to wait and wait and wait, and then that prompting of the Spirit gets pushed aside by once again living a self life instead of a Christ life? Are you and I ready to let self go and let Christ live and rule over our lives? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simple truths of your word. And again, we pray, Lord, we have men, women, teenagers. Lord, all of us, have we recognized that we may have been living a little bit just for ourselves and our own strength? Heavenly Father, may we surrender wholeheartedly to you today. Allow you to live in and through us, to recognize the power at hand. Lord, we see mighty volcanoes spew and explode and knock down towns for hundreds of miles away. And Lord, that's not even one drop of your power. We cannot say we have no power to live the life you call us to. All we do is deny the fact we want to. Help us, Lord, to surrender ourselves to you, to recognize Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that we be not conformed to this world, but transformed into the image of our Savior. Lord, I pray for the fathers, the husbands, the leaders of their homes today, that they would put their hand up, gather their families, their wives, sit them down and say, "Let's live for Christ and Christ alone from this day on." It will mean some sacrifices. It will mean some persecution. It will mean the devil will have you looking at each other thinking one's not good enough for the other. But we stand not on the promises of this world, but on the promises of Christ in us. Lord, may we all understand what it means and claim, "I am crucified with Christ." Father, we just thank you and praise you and bring all this to you in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.